talk to you about obedience is better than a big fish. Now, unless you're Patrick, of course, who eats fish for breakfast with cereal, I think. He's got fishios instead of Cheerios, maybe. Fishies instead of Wheaties. I don't know. But have you ever been asked to do something you didn't really want to do? Like a minute ago, stand and shout. Yeah, okay. And everyone sits around, looks around like, I'm not standing. That's really dumb. Maybe even if it could be a good thing to do, you've been asked to do something and you don't do it, you don't respond. Maybe this is a little hot here. So, did you make excuses? How did you avoid the answer? How did you respond? Did you run and hide? Did you like turn off your phone? Did you pretend to be out of town? What'd you do? Usually there are two responses to these situations. We either run and make excuses that seem really like good ones, like, hey, they'll buy this, even though you're making it up, right? Or two, we decide to embrace it and hope for the ability to be able to get this done, the thing we've been asked to do. There once was a prophet named Jonah, and we all know about the story, probably, about this big fish. And he's right. A big fish ate a guy, and he's hangs out in there in the front room with the light on for 3 days. But Jesus referred to Jonah, and it's historically accurate. People say, oh, that's just a story. Well, then why did Jesus talk about it when it happened so much before him? Jesus authenticated it when he talked about Jonah. But there was this prophet named Jonah who came from the same area that Jesus came from in Galilee. He came from Nazareth. And Nazareth wasn't well spoken of by the religious Jews of the day. And they even made fun of Jesus for being from there. And in John 1:46, not on the screen, but it says, Nazareth, can any good thing come from Nazareth? You know, when I lived in Missouri in the USA, right across the river, the Missouri River, aptly named, was a state called Kansas. And one of the Kansas jokes was, you know, what's the state bird of Kansas? Well, a fly. What do you call a pretty girl in Kansas? A tourist. Why is the suicide rate in Kansas so low? Because it's hard to get killed jumping out of a trailer window. You know, we made up, it just goes on and on. Now, well, you had to been there, okay. Then you would have the same sentiment, believe me. And they're the worst drivers in the world. Absolutely the worst. They went from driving tractors to cars, and that's real dangerous. Anyways, that's Kansas. But, you know, we'd always say, man, there's a Kansas driver. Oh, no. And it's like with Jesus. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? I mean, that was the same sentiment. It's like, give me a break. The guy's from Nazareth. You know, and Jonah was from there. And I don't know about you, but have you ever received a bad report where people say, well, you can't do that. You haven't had enough school. You haven't had training. I don't think you're smart enough. Ooh, boom. I don't think you're talented enough. You know, I mean, you hear these bad reports and sometimes it's so easy to take a message like that to heart. And then we look at ourselves and we start listing all of our problems, pitfalls, all of our weaknesses. And then we manufacture all kinds of these seemingly logical reasons why we shouldn't do something. And so nothing gets done. And we don't do the great things that maybe we've been asked to do. And Jonah was asked to do something. God said, Jonah, I want you to go to the Ninevites. And you got to understand, the Ninevites weren't on the top list for the Israelites. They were enemies. They feared the Ninevites. And Jonah said, God, you want me to go talk to these people? You want me to share your love and forgiveness with people that I don't even like? So Jonah began to make some excuses. And We're going to read about it right here in Jonah 1 through 7, where he flees from the Lord. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it. He didn't just go say, you know, look for ways, open doors for people, do random acts of kindness. He said, go preach against it. They already hate you. You hate them. Now you're going to go rub it in their face. Okay, God, that's a good deal. Because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. And Tarshish is like in Spain. Okay? That's quite a ways away if you're an Israelite. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to free from the Lord. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. And all the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God. And they threw the cargo in the sea to lighten the ship, but Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, how can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us, and we will not perish. Then the sailors said to each other, come, let us cast lots to find out who's responsible for this calamity. They cast lots, and the lot fell on, guess who? Jonah. So here's the story. Jonah's asked to go preach to hard people. Jonah goes, I don't think so. Getting on a boat, going the wrong direction. You know, I got to go here. I'm going over here. God will never find me here. Huh. Like, God doesn't know where you're at any time of the day. Like, God's not omnipresent. He's everywhere all the time. He doesn't need to catch a train. He doesn't need the cheap tickets from Blocker to ride the train. He can go anywhere, and he's already there. And his response, you know, was 2,500 miles, so, you know, the opposite direction. But Jonah had forgotten that God wanted the Israelites to be a blessing. God wants us to be a blessing. Doesn't change much. And to be a witness to the non-Jews. But today, you know, God is calling us his church, right? We are his church. If we are believers, we are the church of Jesus Christ. And he's calling us to an even greater missionary task than Jonah. Jonah, he said, go to this place, Nineveh, a city. That's pretty easy. Here's the map. There it is. But God says to us, go into all the world and preach the gospel, the good news, to all people, all the world. And again, that's what's so great about this church. Over 70-some nations we've had attend here that can be sent, go back, wherever, find Jesus, get built up in Christ, whatever, and go out and change the rest of the world. Not just one city named Nineveh. And, you know, it's a shame that for churches of today that so many take little interest in missions and are only concerned with, you know, kind of building their own kingdom. In the U.S., we have a statement called, my four and no more. It's kind of like, I'm happy the way it is. I'm comfortable. I've got my church. I got my friends. We got our thing down. We know how to do this thing called church. And I mean to tell you, that does not please God. God says no. Just like last night, we were at the Mustard Music Hall. That place can hold, I don't know, in chairs it could hold easily 1,000 people. Standing, well, a couple thousand. And I'm thinking, it'd be a good place for a church. Now, I know people would say, why? Well, a church at the Montserrat Music Hall, that's too big. Is it? Or is our expectation too little? Maybe that's the question. Why not? A town of 100 and whatever, 40,000, 20,000, I don't know what we got here. What 1% is 1,200 people. That's at 120,000. I'd say Maastricht Music Hall isn't big enough for God. Just my opinion. Yeah. So, and God sent this great storm to persuade Jonah. Jonah, you notice the waves? Jonas, you notice the ship's about to sink. Notice the franticness of the people on the ship, and they found you out. You know, isn't it amazing that when they went down, they found Jonah asleep? I mean, this is a hurricane, is what it is. And here Jonah's down underneath the boat, passed out. Can you imagine the captain's like, what? We're upstairs throwing stuff overboard. We should throw you overboard, by the way. And you can sleep. But is that not a little bit, do you think that the Lord put that in there to show us that so often the church is asleep? In the middle of the storms and the things that the people are experiencing out there, and we're asleep. When I say that, we're asleep and like we're not concerned. And the people out there, they need to hear Jesus. They need to know that there's an answer. They need to know there's hope in a storm. They need to know that when waves come, that there is a way out. And not just a way out, but a way of life that is worth living. You know, Jesus isn't always our ticket out of problems. Although, yeah, sure, he can do that. That's not an issue. But Jesus is a way of life. Not just through our problems, but through good times as well. All the times. And, you know, God is always looking for people that won't run the other way and are just fully committed to doing his will. And, you know, living water. God, Bible says, out of our belly shall flow rivers of life, living water. And that can only happen out of a willing vessel. When you're running the other way from God, you can't flow much. Matter of fact, Jonah got thrown overboard. So you're the guy. You're down here sleeping in the middle of this. We're upstairs going crazy. Boom. And you know what? Immediately the seas got calm. Proves a point. God says, yeah, this is the guy. I don't have a quarrel with you. It's with him. He's the believer. You may not even be, but this is the guy that's running from me when I asked him to do something. So immediately those things became neutral. And may we never as a church be found asleep and unconcerned when all around us we see people trapped in the lies of darkness, fooled by sin, and spiritually perishing in storms of life. So, he's thrown into the sea. God does what? God provides this huge fish. Jonah's going down for the third time. That's not a good sign. Fish comes up, swallows him. That's usually not a good sign, especially ones with teeth. Now, I don't know. Just said a big fish. Maybe it's a toothless fish. I'm not sure. Swallows Jonah, and Jonah survives somehow. And he's sitting in the middle of this animal. I can't imagine the smells, can you? Ooh. And Jonah's sitting in there. He has 3 days and three nights to figure it out. God spares his life for 3 days and three nights sitting in this fish muck in the middle of the fish. And Jonah comes to his senses. And there's a great prayer, actually, in Jonah chapter 2, if you read it. It's really a poetic, it's like a song. It's a prayer that Jonah lifted up to God. God, listen, and cause the fish to go over and vomit. It says spit out, well, It was up on dry land. So here, wouldn't you like to have been on the shore? Here comes this fish, all of a sudden, and here comes Jonah come flying out up on the dry land. Well, Jonah comes to his senses. He says, okay, go on. He goes to Nineveh, and he begins to preach. Wow, God sends a revival. He's not just preaching, you know, here's the thing, guys. He's not just preaching, God is love. God has blessing and mercy and provision and peace. Be well, go with you. He's like, here's what your problem is. You're sinners. You're going to get judged by the wrath of God. If you don't change, it's over. I mean, the guy was preaching a hard message. And you know what? Our responsibility is just to preach. It's other people's responsibility to respond. God never told us and guaranteed to us. He just said, go do it. God says, I'll handle them if you can handle you. But first he needs the you so that them can hear. And you know, the funny thing is, you would think Jonah would be happy, right? Here's this huge revival. I mean, the king, they're putting on sackcloth and ashes, a sign of repentance. I mean, they're doing all the right stuff. They're declaring fasts. And these people are doing it, and they're repenting. And God is sparing this evil city called Nineveh. because these people actually turn. You know what? I believe Hitler. Now, that's a hard topic around here, I know. But I believe Hitler could have been saved. His last dying breath, if he were to say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I've made many mistakes. You know what? If I believe God would do it. Yeah, does that change his crime? No. But a repentant heart, the Bible says, God will never turn away from. Never. He doesn't say who. He just says he won't. There's always hope for people that will repent. Nineveh is the same way. And they repent. A revival. And so what does Jonah do? He gets angry. So wait a minute. You actually did it. You went through all this fish stuff. You show up. You preach a hard message to people. And they respond. You didn't just talk about mercy and stuff and how good God is and how blessed you'll be if you just follow God and blah, 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 blah. Everything, you know, there'll be flowers blooming. And, you know, because listen, guys, the message is more than just mercy and grace, isn't it? If all you came and all we talked about was all you have to do is just kind of love Jesus and everything's going to be okay. Let's all have a Jesus love party. You know, well, that's just a little bit of it. God says, wait a minute. These things we need to deal with. And we need to deal with sin. And sin in our life will kill us and it will rob us of joy and of our effectiveness to touch other people. And that's the message he was preaching to these people. He says, your sin's killing you. It's wrong. Change. Now, in 2012, we don't like to hear that. And I know there's some people probably even say, Pastor Kent, you're awfully negative. Really? Well, talk to Jonah. Talk to God. Because there are times we need to say, it's not enough. Something's got to change. And that goes for any of us, including myself. Because we're going to be the church. We got to look like the church. We got to smell like the church. We don't have to be condemning. That's not the point. But we need to live a life that's worth following. So someone else can go, I like that. But why? Because it's different enough. It's changed. It's not like mine. Mine's a mess. And that's exactly what happened. So he gets angry. He goes outside the city. He builds this little lean-to shelter to try to, because it's very hot. And he's very thirsty. And he goes out. He's been preaching. He goes outside and he sits under this thing and he's angry at God. And he really is, you know what he's doing? He's waiting for God to send fire and brimstone down the city. He wants to see him toast. Poof. He's like, You know, and he's out there. And so God, like, oh, poor little Jonah. So God grows a vine over it to give him a little shade from the heat because Jonah is just dying in the heat. And Jonah's actually telling God, why don't you just kill me? Get me out of here. I mean, this is crazy, you know. He's angry. So God even kills the vine. And he's making a point with Jonah. And here's what he says in Jonah 4, 9 through 11. But God said, Jonah, do you have a right to be angry about the vine? I do, he said. I am angry enough to die. Oh, everyone stick their thumb in their mouth. That's the time. But the Lord said, you have been concerned about this vine, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and many cattle as well. Should I not be concerned about that great city? The point he was saying is, Jonah, you're so worried about yourself. You're so concerned about the things that don't matter. And I've just 120,000 people just changed their hearts. Is that not worth more than your vine? Is that not worth more than the fish? Is that not worth more than your anger? Maybe you need to have a change. Because this is my heart to reach a hard people. And you know, when I think about this city, I look out here, it's no different here. It's about the same size, actually, 120,000 people. God cares about everyone that's walking around out there. And you know, the cool thing is, we've got a team of people here from Texas, the Lone Star State, that have been here for 10 months, and they didn't run like Jonah did when they heard the call. They responded by saying, "You mean I have to pay for it too?" And they said, "Yeah." And they raised the money to come for 10 months. You know why? Because they have a vision for the city that maybe even some of us don't. They saw something. You know, sometimes you can't see the forest for the trees, as we say. And I think sometimes when you're in the middle of it, you go, "Oh, yeah, well, it's my city. Well, it's a tough place." And then you have people that come in and go, "Wow, look at the opportunity. Look at the people that need to hear the truth." And these guys did. And this is their last Sunday here, and we want to honor them today. So it's a bit of a challenge. It's like, what are we doing? Because if they can do this, what can we do? Right? If God is calling us to a city, we don't run. We run to it. And we say, "Lord, it's just my responsibility to do it. It's your responsibility to bear the fruit of it. I'll just be obedient, God, and you're going to do the rest." It's not a penalty for failing, only if you don't try. That's the problem.